Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me the title of this morning's sermon. How can I be sure of my salvation? Based on our gospel reading just read to you, especially these words of Jesus. And someone said to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I invite you to follow your sermon outline provided for you and your handout as we consider this important theme, how can I be sure of my salvation? In today's gospel reading, a person in the crowd asked Jesus a simple but very important question. Verse 23, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, this is a question that many of us have asked in one way or another. Who will go to heaven after they die? How about my neighbors, my friends, members of my extended family? Will only a few be saved? Jesus could have answered with a quick yes or no, but he didn't. Jesus was addressing an individual, and today he addresses us as individuals right now. He didn't either answer the question in a purely academic or impersonal way. No, he cuts to the very heart of the person's question and the question we're to be asking today. Am I among those being saved? How can I be sure of my salvation? What is the basis for my assurance of salvation? Jesus gives a detailed but a very direct answer. Verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter but will not be able. Why does Jesus picture the door as being narrow? Well, remember the fairy tale, Alice in Wonderland? Alice is following a host of peculiar characters in her quest to get home. At one point, she stands before a door that's so small, there's no way she can go through that door. So she must drink a supposed magic potion to shrink her down so she can fit through that door. Trying to enter as she is won't work. She must become small. In Jesus' teaching, the door to the kingdom of heaven is quite narrow. It's open, at least for the time being, but it's quite narrow, so narrow that Jesus says we must strive to enter it. The verb he uses can also be translated, we must struggle to enter it. Jesus is speaking to us about the struggle and even the pain of repentance. Repentance is comprised of two parts. First, feeling sorry for one's sin, but then turning away from that sin in faith that God, in His mercy, does forgive and restore sinners. This is the way we enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, tied to the picture of that narrow door and recalling Alice and the small door in Wonderland, repentance then may be seen. And catch this picture. Repentance may be seen as you and I making ourselves very, very small. We disrobe ourselves of all self-righteousness that we wrapped ourselves in. We stand before Almighty God willing to let Him strip us of the bulky coats of sin and rebellion until our sin is stripped from us to the last rag. Then we can squeeze through that narrow door, not because of anything that we've done, but because in Jesus Christ, God has forgiven our confessed sin and made us small enough to squeeze through the door. Now, let me tell you, such repentance is truly a struggle for sinners like you and me. It hurts. It goes against what's being shoved down our throat every day by our modern culture. Today we're told, if anything hurts you or causes you discomfort, by all means, avoid it at all costs. But I would rather trust my Savior Jesus, who died for me, than this self-centered world. Jesus' nail-pierced hands and feet speak clearly. They speak of a Savior who died for me and for you. They speak of a Savior crucified in payment for my sins. A Savior risen from the grave to give us victory over sin and death and devil. And if He tells me my sin separates me from God and makes me not able to fit through that narrow door, then I believe in Him and His solution for my sin. And so we repent and thankfully give God praise for His forgiveness. And we look forward to the day when He will welcome us face to face through that narrow door into the kingdom of heaven. Just this week, it was my privilege to stand with Alan Marlene over the graveside of Alan's beloved brother Chuck. As our Savior, in His mercy and grace, opened up that narrow door to a poor sinner who just shortly before his death asked Jesus to forgive his sins. To those who have a simple trust in the Savior's sacrifice for them, there is no need to fear that door will be closed. But at the same time, there are many people, and maybe some here this morning, who need to hear the words of warning Jesus speaks in the next verses of this text. He says, many will seek to enter and not be able. The master of the house will shut the door. You'll begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I don't even know where you come from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, depart from me. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus here is warning two basic types of people, the unrighteous and the self-righteous. In verse 24, he says, many will seek to enter and not be able. These are the unrighteous. The people who will try to enter through that narrow door without the pain of repentance. There may be some of those people here today. People who have turned a deaf ear to the necessity of Christ as their Savior, a deaf ear to their need for Him to forgive their sins and make them righteous. Due to unrepentant sin and a lack of faith, this person is unrighteous. And to them, that narrow door one day will be closed forever. The second kind of person talked about is in verse 26. They stand outside the door and say to the Lord, Lord, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I don't even know where you come from. This person is the self-righteous. Here is the religious person. Here is maybe the church-going person who can claim that he or she was exposed to Jesus, even heard some sermons, perhaps even was a church member. But this person did not struggle with their sin, did not really see themselves as a sinner in need of a Savior. They counted on their religious deeds and their good works and their name on the church roster to get them right with the Holy God. Maybe there are some of those people here today. But Jesus says there'll be a surprise in store. On that final day, they stand before the Lord at judgment day at that narrow door. They will say these words, Lord, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. Translation, we attended church. We did religious things. Our name was on the membership roll. He will say, I never really even knew you. Today's text from Luke 13 is a wake-up call. It tells us that one day, on that last day of judgment, that narrow door will be closed forever. But is there any good news in this text? Is there a word of hope? Yes, there certainly is. Listen to the last verses of the reading. Jesus says, and on that day, people will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and they'll recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first. Some who are first will be last. Oh, the width and the depth and the height of God's mercy. Literally, people from all four corners of the earth, from every nation, tribe, color, and language, will be in heaven. Because the proclamation of the good news of Jesus will create saving faith in the hearts of millions around the world. And this isn't even the best news for people like you and me. Listen to the best news where Jesus says, and the last will be first. The last here are people who in this world are not humanly great, who are self-admitting failures and sinners, who must fall upon God's mercy, who don't have what it takes to look God in the eye and say, hey, you gotta love me because I'm so great. If we're honest with ourselves, we must admit we are the last. We who have honestly acknowledged our sin and our need for a Savior are probably considered by this world to be the last. But no matter, because in God's eyes, we will be first, and to us will be opened that narrow door. To be first in God's kingdom is to admit our sin, to turn to Jesus, and to stand upon Him alone. In this life and the next. And here's the key. Standing upon Him alone and not our own self-righteousness. If you're looking at your sermon outline, we're at the conclusion. How about that? The story is told of a missionary in Samoa who is given a most precious gift. The gift is entitled the Chief's Fine Mat. It was woven like a mat you would see at the entrance to almost any home, but this mat was very precious, and he was told that this mat would provide him anything that he really needed it. Sounded too good to be true. But time went by, and this missionary ran into some problems. He ended up owing over $1,000 to a local merchant for supplies, and he could not pay the bill. He timidly showed the fine mat to the merchant, stood upon it, and the merchant forgave him his debt. Not long later, the missionary was preaching in a village pretty far from where he was at, and he really upset a local chieftain when he told that chief and his people to throw away their false gods and the idols. The chief was so angry, he ordered the missionary to be put to death. But at the time of his sentencing, the missionary pulled out the fine mat and stood upon it. And the angry chief gave the order to set him free. My friends, look up here, would you? Our dear Lord Jesus Christ is your and my fine mat. The Father in heaven sent him to us, to our sinful world, that whoever stands upon him will be saved. The debt of our sin is far too great for us to pay. The Holy Scripture says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But Jesus, our Savior, by His death upon the cross and rising from the grave, paid our debt. For you and me, He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. And today, He invites you and me and all people to stand on Him. We stand on Him as we humbly repent of our sin. We stand on Him as with thanksgiving we receive His gift of forgiveness. We stand on Him when by God's amazing grace, that narrow door to heaven is opened for us. Can you fit through the door? Can you be sure of your salvation? Yes, you can. Today, eternally, and only because of Jesus Christ your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.